to secure Scottish independence, and in many, many moments over those intervening years, I doubted I would ever have the chance to stand as I did in Burlington Village Hall and put a cross beside yes, I believed Scotland should be an independent country. So it's a disappointing morning.
25 suspected illegal immigrants have been found in the back of a lorry in Dover. Kent police said a man had been arrested on suspicion of facilitating illegal immigration. Ambulance crews are at the scene. The BBC understands Stafford Hospital is likely to be renamed the County Hospital. The name is believed to be the front-runner out of four proposed by staff in May, the others being Coton Hill, Weston Road and Isaac Walton. Mid-Staffordshire NHS Foundation Trust is due to be dissolved in November. The hospital was at the centre of a £6 million public inquiry into failings in care between 2005 and 2009. School dinners in Birmingham are under investigation after a local primary was served just one chicken nugget for lunch. The school, which hasn't been named, served the dish to reception pupils. This comes just 3 weeks into a new school meal plan. Councillor Valerie Seabright says it hasn't been thought through.
Although the government has put money into this whole initiative, there are a lot of schools that have got school kitchens, but there are a number of schools that haven't got them. So things have had to be turned over very quickly without a lot of forethought. You know, it makes me wonder what, you know, limited forethought the government are putting in now to the Scottish thing now. They've got to think that through now.
Police have arrested a Birmingham man on suspicion of theft after he attempted to conceal a sculpture in his clothing. The limited edition piece of artwork was from Castle Fine Art Gallery in Birmingham. The theft was captured on CCTV and then broadcast nationally. A 41-year-old man was arrested from his home in Small Heath this morning. And the weather, mainly cloudy with the risk of some heavy thundery showers, although most places will stay dry at 21 degrees Celsius, 70 degrees Fahrenheit. Dry tonight, dipping down to 14 degrees Celsius, 57 degrees Fahrenheit. And over the weekend, the odd shower possible on Saturday, but dry on Sunday. BBC WM 95.6 News. There's more online at bbc.co.uk/WM.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Ian Lee.
On BBC WM
95.6.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
It's just gone 2 o'clock. It's Friday. That means it's the freaking weekend, baby. I'm about to have me some fun, to quote R. Kelly. Busy show coming up this afternoon. We'll be talking, I know, Scotland. Yeah, a bit boring. It is, isn't it? Today kind of feels like Boxing Day, doesn't it? You know, it's the excitement of the election yesterday, Christmas Day. We opened all the presents and now we're kind of watching repeats of Dad's Army and eating turkey sandwiches. It's a little bit of an anti-climax. Well, we will reinvigorate you by speaking to the greatest export from Scotland later on in the show. Ladies and gentlemen, the Crankies will be coming on. I know. You haven't seen those anywhere else, have you? No? Well, there's perhaps good reason. But they'll be coming on later on. We're also asking, have you ever treated yourself medically? I injured my finger quite badly this week. I shut it in a car door. I'm being very brave about it. And it's all gone all black and bloody and horrible. And my friend said, oh, my granddad did that once, and what he did was he drilled through the fingernail to release the blood. Have you ever treated yourself medically? And also, what's the worst job you've ever had? I've got a cracking one. Oh, I had a terrible job once. You can call us about those things, or to be honest, if you just fancy a chat, give us a call. We're very relaxed here between 2 and 4 on a Friday. 03453 009956. We have quite low standards as well, so if you give us a call, the odds are you'll get on. Yeah, I know. Or you can email ian.lee@bbc.co.uk or send me a text, 81333. Start your text, WM.
Even though I know I should, the cold is biting through.
problem. I'd stay right there if I were you. I got it harder. You couldn't dream how hard I got it. Stay out of my shoes if you know what's good for you. The heat is stifling, burning me up from the inside. The sweat is coming through each and every pore. I don't wanna be here no more. I don't wanna be here no more. I don't wanna be here no
Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6. Producer Joe's out there taking your phone calls. Ever treated yourself medically? Can we find anybody that's actually done the thing they used to do in comics? You know, where they would tie a piece of string around a tooth and then tie it to a door handle and slam the door shut? 03453 00956. And also, the worst job you've ever had. We've all had some stinky jobs, haven't we? We've all had. I had a friend whose summer job was to go round and pick up dog poo. This was back in the day. No, seriously, this is back in the day before it was de rigueur for dog owners to do it themselves. Gosh, the 70s and 80s. Well, you really had to watch your step, didn't you? Horrible places. What's the worst job that you have ever had? 03453 00956. Well, Sean Wright has possibly got the worst job in the West Midlands. Afternoon to you, Sean.
Afternoon, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you, Sean. Are you working today?
Well, literally just about finished my shift.
You've just about finished your shift. Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Can you tell the boys and girls listening what your job is?
Oh, my job is like sort of like cleaning, so to speak.
It's sort of like cleaning, isn't it?
Yeah, it is cleaning. It is cleaning.
It's definitely cleaning.
Yes.
But it's what you're cleaning up that's the problem.
Ooh. Well, I sort of clean up one of the best pieces that you can ever think of, bird poo.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sean Wright is a bird poo cleaner. That's right. I'll be honest, Sean, I wasn't expecting you to be quite so jolly.
Oh, actually, you know, I'll tell you this, it's not the best job in the world, but I think it's more of, you know, it gives us a bit of excitement to do it, you know. It's not the ideal job, but it just gives me a bit of fun to do it, to be honest.
Where's the excitement in shovelling up? It's primarily goose poo, isn't it? Where's the excitement in cleaning that up?
Well, the excitement, you know, by cleaning it up is just literally, you know, you've done something good. And, you know, you can literally give to the public to say, look, you know, I've done that. So that's where the excitement for me.
What you do... Right, listen, what I do is nonsense. Any Tom, Dick or Harry could sit here and talk for a couple of hours and play records. It's easy and it's not important. What you do is genuinely an important job. And it's one of those things we don't really think about.
It is.
But it's quite dirty. Is it true that when you finish your shift, Sean, you have to chuck your clothes away?
Absolutely right. I have to literally put it in the bin. I could not.
You not got a washing machine?
Oh, yes, but I could not put that in the washing machine. I have to chuck it. I have to.
Flipping heck, how many pairs of trousers are you getting through?
Well, basically, I've got my layers. That's what we'll normally put on to sort of, like, we deal with, like, water spillage or...
Yes.
sick or anything. So literally, it's like an overall, and plus my trousers underneath, and I literally have to chuck literally everything.
Literally chucking literally everything away?
Everything.
Literally?
Everything away. Everything. The only thing I haven't chucked is my shoes. That's it.
Sean, have you got a partner? Do you live with family?
Yes. Well, yes. And I hope she's not listening, because...
Oh.
When I've chucked it, she went home and she said, "What's that in the bin?" I said, "Oh, it's one of my old trousers, you know. I sort of like, you know, don't like it anymore, so I put it in the bin." And she said, "Okay." But if I had told her what it is, she would like, "Oh, she wouldn't even come near me."
Oh, really? Does she not know what you do for a living then?
Oh, yeah, she know what I do, but, you know, not knowing the spec of the job, what I really do, to be honest.
Right.
Yeah.
One of the perks of working at the BBC is, can I say this? Yeah. I get to nick stuff. I get to take pens and paper and CDs and records home. I'm supposing you don't have that benefit, do you, Sean?
Oh, no. Not at all. It's sort of like broom and, you know, waters and all sort of stuff. Those are the sort of stuff I shuttle around, to be honest.
OK. And how do people treat you when you're doing your job?
You know, to be fair, you know, a lot of people see these jobs and look down to it, but I got to be honest and let the public know that, you know, this kind of job, what we do, if it were for us, I can guarantee you, because if you get up one morning, put your ties on and your nicest suit and your shoes and you go to work, and if it's not clean, I can guarantee you health and safety can shut it down. So without us as a cleaner, you know, it wouldn't be a business place anyway. But a lot of people really do look down on us when we do it. And they got some who come up to us and, you know, said, "Hello, how are you doing? Great job," which is good.
You say people look down to you, Sean. Is anyone ever rude to you?
Not in a sense, but, you know, the way they looked at you, you could see, you know, they're like a resent, like, they're like, "Oh, you know, oh." And you're thinking, you know, but for me, you know, I doesn't feel any way, because at the end of the day, a job is a job.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I have ultimate respect for people who do jobs like this that, you know, I particularly wouldn't want to go near to. You're providing for your family and you're doing an essential service.
Absolutely.
Do you hate geese?
I don't, you know. I don't. To be honest, I'm a sort of fan of nature, like sort of like wildlife. So it's not a case of where I've ate any kind of animals, you know. It's just fortunately that, you know, I have to sort of like clean up them.
Here's something, Sean, right? Yeah. Where do geese go when they want to die?
Actually, that is the thing that...
Ever seen a dead goose?
Never.
No, neither have I. A couple of weeks ago, I was walking along the Thames and I saw a dead duck floating in the water. And I thought, that's the first... Yeah, I know. And I thought that's the first time I've ever seen a dead bird of any description in its natural habitat.
Yeah, and I never see something like that. I know I see like a dog, you know, fish.
You seen a dead dog?
Yeah.
Where have you seen a dead dog?
Yeah, in the canal. I've seen that before. I see, like, rabbits. Yeah, in the canal. For some reason, they probably got hit somewhere and dumped in the canal and washed up on the bank. They probably dropped in the... Well, dog is a good swimmer anyway, so I couldn't see where a dog get into the canal. Yeah.
I would imagine if the dog was dead, the dog would probably have been dead before it got into the canal.
That's what I said.
Because they are good swimmers,
Yeah, they have to get hit somewhere and then dumped in the canal because they're good swimmers. Yeah. As a matter of fact, they're better swimmers than human, to be honest.
Oh, man. Well, they invented the doggy paddle.
There you go.
Sean, listen, it's so nice to talk to you. I think that you are one of our heroes. Because for some people who don't enjoy their jobs and are struggling with their jobs, can you just give them some advice or a suggestion on what they can do to kind of improve their lives a bit?
Well, you know, what I would say to them that, you know, whatever job you're doing, just hold your head up, think about your family, or if you even got a family, just think about yourself, that you're doing something good. And, you know, go to work and just enjoy. It takes, you know, pride and dedication to do whatever you do. But I would say, you know, don't get discouraged. Whatever you do, don't get discouraged. Just hold your head up and just keep on pushing forward with your job.
Sean, you're a legend. Thank you very much for your time, mate.
Not a problem. Thank you very much. Cheers.
Take care. Ta-ta.
To sort your mildew out, just trim some of those branches out to get air. Oh, yeah. Have you not got a ladder?
Don't mind pimping Phil out. £15.
A day.
That's true.
Molly Green.
Saturdays, 6 till 9, BBC WM.
95.6. Right.
Yay. So, that was Sean Wright. He goes around. His job is to clean up. What a nice fellow. When I heard we were going to be talking to him, I was expecting him to be a right miserable so-and-so. But what a lovely gentleman, full of the joys of life. And he goes round and he cleans up goose poo. What's the worst job you've ever had, please, dear listener? 03453-00956. My worst job? I had two worst jobs. One, well, I used to work in B-Jams. Remember B-Jams? You're probably too young. Before it became Iceland, I used to work in B-Jams when I was 15. And what I had to do was I had to go into the big walk-in freezer at the end of the shift on Saturday and count everything that was in the freezer. Man, it was cold. The worst job I've ever had was picking up litter in a desert in Pakistan. Yeah, that was an actual job I had to do. It was hot. The two extremes, the heat and indeed the cold. 03453-00956, please. Your worst ever job that you've had. And where... He's got me thinking now. Apart from this one duck that I saw floating in the Thames, I've never seen... I don't mean this to sound unpleasant or tasteless or in any way. It probably will do a little bit. Tough. Where do birds go to die? I have never seen a dead pigeon, for example. Ever seen a dead pigeon? Well, yeah, OK, so, yeah, sometimes if they get into the house and you get involved with a fight, then, yes, you're going to see one on the floor. 03453-00956. You say yes, I say no. You say stop, I say go, go, go. Oh, no. You say goodbye, I say hello. That's the Beatles and Hello Goodbye. Hey, oh, blimey. Worst job Paul McCartney ever had? Bass player in Wings. Oh. 03453-00956, Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6. It's Ranjit in Oldbury.
Hiya, mate. You right?
Gosh, Ranjit, I haven't heard your voice for minutes on this station. How lovely to hear you.
Oh, I reckon you've put a stop on me because I keep on putting you on the ropes.
Wait, hang on a minute. For those who don't know, Ranjit often phones up to get his backside whopped on my Saturday morning show, 9 till 12. He thinks he gets me on the ropes, and really, all he does is what I like to call a hit and run. He phones up, says something rude, and slams the phone down and goes off crying to his mama. What have you got for us today, Ranjit?
Listen, I never put the phone down and go crying to my mama. You put the phone down on me, never let me finish.
I always let you finish.
No, you don't.
It's not panto season. The crankies aren't in just yet.
Oh, I thought you used one of their sidekicks.
Yeah, I'll give you a sidekick in a minute, fella. What would you like to say, Ranjit?
Okay, I've never really had a bad job, so I can't talk about that.
What do you mean you've never had a bad... So every job you've had has been just... what you've been like a butler to the Queen?
No. I've generally worked for myself, so it's been quite enjoyable. I did used to drive a truck, and that was quite enjoyable.
Oh, no, I can't drive big vehicles. And I, several times, have had jobs where I've had to drive a Bedford or a Luton van. I find it terrible. I get so anxious and I keep crashing. So, I'm not a driver. Can't do the driving.
No, I used to drive the articulated lorry.
Oh, man. How do those guys do that?
It's simple. It's like driving a car, but just bigger.
There's nothing like driving a car.
It's just like driving a car, but bigger, and you got all-round visibility.
And you can hog the middle lane and overtake another lorry that's going really, really slowly and get on everybody else's nerves.
Oh, it's just a matter of patience. You've got to have patience. That's all I'm going to say to you.
Well, I certainly have to have patience when I'm speaking to you, Ranjit.
No, yeah, no, see, you're sorry? Going on the ropes now.
No, I'm not on the ropes. I'm just giving you a little tickle under the armpits.
OK. The last time I phoned you, you agreed with me. I can't remember what it was about.
Yeah, I think you phoned up to say that Ranjit was a plum. Anyway, what have you called in for today?
The dead animals, yeah?
Yes, I do, yes.
The only thing I've ever seen, apart from roadkill, you know, and maybe I've been some part of it as well, I've seen badgers on the sides of the road,
yeah,
which aren't a roadkill.
Well, how do you know they're not roadkill? Have you kind of done an autopsy?
Well, yes, I did, actually. I stopped my truck, went out and had a look. No, you can see because there's no bruises on the animals.
No, but the thing is, though, you can hit a... I can't believe we're having this conversation. You can hit a cat, right, and it can just be like a glancing blow, so there are no outside obvious injuries, but inside it's enough for it to die.
Well, you know, I stand to be corrected.
Well, I've corrected you, Ranjit, so, well, you can sit down now.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, we was in Devon over the bank holiday.
Oh, yeah.
Seen one or two badgers that were away from the road.
Yeah.
That, you know, I don't think they were in...
Because they... Ranjit, why are you not believing me when I'm telling you facts? I know these things. So a badger gets hit by a car, it's a glancing blow, it causes internal injuries, it manages to kind of scamper and then slowly crawl and then collapse, like, 50 yards away from the road.
You was talking about dead animals, that's the only kind of dead animals. Other than in India, I've seen animals when we lived there in India when I was younger.
Yeah.
Seen cows, like, dead in the fields.
Beautiful. Happy Friday, guys. Hope you're enjoying the start to your weekend.
Oh, no, listen, you wanted to talk about animals.
I prefer to talk
about... I just wanted to put you on the ropes, but you ain't taking any of my bait, are you?
You've not said anything to warrant bait.
Oh, no, I'll have to bait you on one of the Saturday mornings. I'm a better fighter in the morning.
Okay, Ranjit. Well, you go and have a little lie down, then.
You, mate.
Tatty bye.
Bye-bye.
There we go. 03453-00956. What's Ranjit talking about? I don't know. But I can clarify slightly. Saturday mornings, 9 till 12, me and producer Joe do this. What's this? Listening to Sean talking about his dirty jobs, this is an email, remind me of when I used to work for the local authority as a caretaker of flats. You would be amazed at how dirty some people are. We used to clean human faeces up about once a week and have to walk around pools of human urine. This is not what I got the gig for at BBC WM. This was supposed to be an intelligent talk show. Once we were called out to clean faeces which had been wiped across the buttons in a lift. Oh, flipping heck. And then he goes through a list of... Who is this? Cliff. He goes through a list of things that has happened to him. In my job, I had two sheets of plywood dropped at me from a balcony. A fridge almost hit another caretaker. Kids throwing potatoes. Drunks peeing over balconies at us. Dogs set on us. Fishing lines stretched across stairs in high rise. Oh, flip! Who'd want to be a caretaker, Malcolm?
Hey.
Hello. Yes.
Hello.
Hello, Malcolm. Who'd want to be a caretaker, Malcolm?
a caretaker. I don't know, somebody that likes doing that sort of work.
I suppose so, yes, that would be the person. What have you called him for, Malcolm?
Well, listen, first of all, I phoned him because you got the cranky. You said you've got the crankies. And I said, well, we see enough of them when we switch the television on and we see the Parliament show.
Never
the crankies are.
Listen to you, David Frost, eh? Oscar Wilde.
What I wanted to say was,
yes,
about this, the devolution with Scotland and all that,
and they're
all going on about having their own little devolutions all around the country and everything.
Yeah.
But I want to know is who's going to pay for it all anyway?
Independence for Birmingham!
Hey.
Malcolm.
What?
Do you really care? Now that the Scotland thing is done and dusted, right, do you really care about it? Hello?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can when you speak, yes.
Well, listen, what I'm on about is the devolution that they want in England, Wales and Northern Ireland.
Yes.
Now, they're all talking about, you know, West Midlands having a devolution, Manchester having its devolution, Tyne and Wear and all this.
Yes.
Well, what I want to know is who's going to pay for it all? Is it going to be us poor people again, like it always happens with this government?
Well, yeah, it'll come from... If it happens, which it won't...
Yeah, that's what I mean. See, people are forgetting that, aren't they, Ian?
Yeah, Listen, now that we've taught Scotland a lesson, right?
Yeah.
Why can't we just carry on and forget it ever happened? Because, be honest, Malcolm, it was a little bit dull, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I like Scotland. I like this country. I mean, it's like they said, we're all the same, really, except for we don't wear kilts all the time.
Hey, here's something...
Everything else is pretty much still the same, don't
we? By the way, Scottish people don't wear kilts all the time either.
No, they don't, no. That is one of their things, isn't it? You know.
Have you ever worn a kilt?
No, Malcolm.
You've got to wear a kilt, my friend.
I bet it's nice in the summer, yeah.
It's a bit weird at first, especially if you do it properly, no pants.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a bit weird at first, but boy, oh boy, it's very freeing.
Well, I always wear just a towel around the house, so I'm pretty used to that sort of...
You do what, sorry?
I always wear a towel around the house if I can't be bothered to put any trousers on for walking around the house.
How often, are you wearing a towel around the house now?
I certainly am, yes.
Malcolm, we'll end it there. What an image, dear listener. 03 453 00 9956. So far, what have we covered in the first 30 minutes? The worst jobs ever, dead animals, kilts, Scottish devolution, and walking around the house with a towel wrapped around your waist. Want to join in? 03 453 00 9956. Hi, it's BBC WM 95.6. Let's get the travel. Here's Adam Crowther.
The M40 northbound lane, one of the three closed between junction 15 at the Warwick Longridge Island turn up towards junction 16 at Henley. It's been an accident. Several vehicles have been involved. Lane one of the three there closed off. It's going to take you the best part of an hour to get through all that queuing traffic, all the way back to junction 13 at Bishop's Tatchbrook at the moment. Also busy for you heading out of Birmingham through to the Aston Bridge, which is actually closed off. So around Dartmouth Circus, a little congested, and the diversion via Thomas Street. Birches Valley in Ettingchill is looking as though it's quite busy due to an accident that's been reported near to the Penkridge Bank turn. Please tell me they're en route to investigate. And Pershore Road South through Kings Norton, that's actually closed in both directions at the Green through to Redditch Road as a result of major works there. Set of temporary lights also on Rednall Road at Grange Hill Road as that work is being carried out, so it's quite busy around surrounding routes there. No problems on public transport, however, if you can update us, call BBC WM 95.6 Travel on 08453 00 2288.
Thank you very much.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country,
BBC WM 95.6.
It's 2:30, let's get the news now. Here's Charlotte Harriman.
A political union that's endured for more than three centuries is still intact after the people of Scotland rejected independence. Nationalists expressed their deep disappointment after 55% of voters said no to Scotland separating from the rest of the United Kingdom. Turnout was almost 85%. 25 suspected illegal immigrants have been found in the back of a lorry in Dover. Kent police said a man has been arrested on suspicion of facilitating illegal immigration. France has carried out its first airstrike against Islamic State militants in Iraq. French officials said the aircraft hit IS positions in the northeast of the country, and there would be further raids in the coming days. School dinners in Birmingham are under investigation after a local primary was served just one chicken nugget for lunch. The school, which hasn't been named, served the dish to reception pupils. This comes just 3 weeks into a new school meal plan. Looking at the weather, mainly cloudy with the risk of some heavy thundery showers, although most places will stay dry. Temperatures at 21 degrees Celsius, 70 degrees Fahrenheit. Dry tonight, with temperatures dipping to 14 degrees Celsius, 57 degrees Fahrenheit. And looking at the weekend, the odd shower possible on Saturday, but dry on Sunday. BBC WM 95.6 News.
Thank you very much.
The Voice.
The Voice.
The Voice of Birmingham and the Black Country. BBC WM 95.6.
Yes. Okay. So, the way this works, this is only our second week doing the Friday afternoon show. I say we, I mean me and producer Joe, of course. We normally do Saturdays 9 till 12. So this is kind of a little bit new for us. But the way it works is, I will throw out bits and pieces that I kind of want to talk about. You can call in and talk about them, or as you've heard in the last 30 minutes, you can completely ignore that and talk about anything you want. What a random... is it hodgepodge or hodgepodge? I would say hodgepodge. I don't know. Anyway, so far we've talked about what's the worst job you've ever done. We spoke to a lovely gentleman, Sean, whose job is to clean up goose poo. Yeah, he goes around doing that. And didn't he sound happy? Didn't he sound pleased with his lot? My worst job was picking up litter in a desert in Pakistan. Flipping heck, it was hot. It was a desert in Pakistan. What on earth was I expecting? Terrible place to go and have to do that. So your worst jobs, somehow off the back of that... We've had a call about dead animals, and when have you ever seen a dead bird? Doesn't happen. You don't see them anywhere. We've had a call about dead badgers. We've had a call about Scottish devolution, and let's be honest, we're all slightly bored of that, aren't we? Aren't we? We'll have the definitive word on the Scottish independence vote after 3 o'clock when we get the crankies on to find out exactly what they think about what has happened. And so it's kind of a little bit random on the veranda. 03453 009956. Also want to take your calls this afternoon, please, if you don't mind. If you've ever treated yourself medically, there's that film, isn't there, about the bloke that goes like rock climbing and he gets trapped and he has to chop his arm off. Now, never seen the film. I've read the book. And he comes across as a right smug so-and-so. So when he gets to the point where he's about to chop his arm off, I was kind of cheering him on. I was. He was such a smug gentleman. I was thinking, yeah, go on, chop your arm off. That'll teach you a lesson. Now, I would be very surprised if anyone can call in and say, yes, Ian, I too have chopped my arm off. That's going to be unlikely. If you can, you're more than welcome. You'll jump to the front of the queue. But if you've ever treated yourself medically, the reason we're talking about this, I trapped my finger in a car door. It's gotten all black and bruised. I'm being very brave about it. But I showed it to a friend and they said, oh, yeah, my granddad did that. And he drilled through the nail to release the pressure. That's insane, isn't it? That is properly insane. When have you ever treated yourself medically? 03 453 009956. And the thing when people, they always used to do this in comics, when people tie a little bit of string around a wonky tooth, then tie it to a knob, a doorknob or a door handle, and then slam the door shut to pull the tooth out. Has that ever actually happened? Or is that one of those myths? 03453 009956.
Fighting for it all your life. You've been struggling to make things right. That's how a superhero learns to fly. Every day, every hour, turn the game. When you've been fighting for it.
out of control, cause they've taken too much hits, stick a blow by blow. Now light a match, stand back, watch him explode. She's got lions in her heart, a fire in her soul. He's got a beast in his belly that's so hard to control, cause they've taken too much hits, stick a blow by blow. Now light a match, stand back, watch him explode.
Afternoon, this is Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6. Here every Friday from now on until 2 till 4.
We've been fighting for it all your life. If you've been struggling to make things right, that's how a superhero learns to
Also, Saturday mornings, 9 till 12, producer Joe and I come in and, well, we tend to argue with people. That's pretty much how it goes. It's good sport. It's good for the brain. Pat's in Sedgley. Good afternoon to you, Pat.
Good afternoon.
How are you this afternoon, Pat?
I'm wonderful, thank you very much.
Isn't it miserable out there?
It is just a bit.
It's. I think we are officially in winter now. This is it.
It's not cold, just miserable and damp.
It is, it's going to get... I prefer it when it's like this, Pat. I don't know. Being British, English, I don't know how to handle the heat. It makes me very uncomfortable. And there are only so many amounts of clothes you can take off. When it's cold or it's wet, you can just keep putting stuff on. It's wonderful.
You want to take a dip off your first caller when he said he walked around with a towel.
Oh, wasn't that disgusting? I'm so sorry we had to put that image in people's minds. Pat, have you ever treated yourself medically?
No, I didn't, but... Oh. I shut my thumb in the car door on the Friday.
Oh. Friday just gone?
No, some years ago. Oh. Stopped all the weekend. Went to the doctor's on the Monday. Yeah. And he just put a very thick, like a thick darning needle into the nail. Huh? And all the pressure came off. All the blood came out.
Hang on a minute. So who put the darning needle in?
The doctor.
Oh, an actual doctor. OK, so it wasn't just some bloke. So that's a genuine thing, because my friend said her granddad had drilled a hole... But that's a genuine thing, to put a hole in the nail. And what, all the blood just comes out?
It takes all the pressure off. The blood comes out. It takes all the pressure off.
Because my finger is throbbing. Yeah, I'm being very brave about it, though, Pat.
I know, it's not fun, though, is it?
It's not... Did the fingernail come off?
Yes.
Oh, see, now that's what I'm hoping for.
It takes a long, long time.
Yeah, I don't... Just under half of my fingernail is black... Which makes me think it's not damaged enough for the fingernail. When I was a boy, when I was 5 years old, right, my mum had a mini, a black mini, and this was on a Saturday. We're talking about days. I remember it was on a Saturday, and I slammed my finger in the mini door, and it was locked. The door then locked itself. Okay, so my finger is trapped in the door. The car is locked. My mum had to walk around the car, fumble for the keys, unlock the door, and get my finger out. That nail dropped off.
Yeah.
Oh, that nail dropped off.
Well, where have you bruised it? Have you bruised it on the end where it's growing, or from the you know, from the thicker part by the skin?
It's in the middle.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
You got pain and you got to wait for it to come up then.
Pat, you ever had a rubbish job? We're asking what's the worst job you've ever done.
Well, I don't know. I just take it on board and get on with it.
Oh, blimey, you're one of those. I don't know if you heard our fella earlier on who cleans up goose poo. He seemed very, he seemed very happy, considering he didn't have the greatest job in the world.
I want to know where they found litter in the desert.
Well, tell me about it. It's a long story, but there was a lot of litter in the desert, and I had to pick it all up. And I don't know if you've ever been in the desert, Pat.
No, I haven't.
It's really, really hot.
Were you doing penance for something?
Yes, something. I won't go into details. Pat and Sedgley, thank you very much indeed. Yeah, I don't know if you know this. You know deserts? No? Turns out they're really, really hot places and quite sandy. Yeah, one of the most uncomfortable things I've ever had to do in my life. 03453-009956 is the telephone number. So the making the hole in the fingernail is a genuine thing then, is it? I thought that was a myth. I am quite good at dealing with my own medical issues. If I get a cut, or raise your eyebrows at me, Producer Joe. If I get an issue, I will deal with it and I will do my best to fix it. But some people put stitches in themselves. They sew themselves up if they've cut. I couldn't do that. And do you know where superglue comes from? Do you know why superglue was invented? The Vietnam War. And so if soldiers cut themselves or got shot, this is true, instead of having to stitch themselves up, they'd glue themselves. It's true, they'd glue themselves with superglue. Don't pull the face as if you don't believe me. You're pulling the I don't believe you face, Producer Joe. 03453 009956. Tony says, I'm considering self-medication in the form of resetting my jaw, as it's become dislocated through laughing so hard. Great show. This is one of the things I'd love to do, okay, right, I wouldn't love to do it, but have my shoulder dislocated and then have someone pop it back in. Or have I told you this story, right? In another life, when I was on another radio station, we're talking about something similar to this. Maybe it was here. Someone got tripped over during a rugby match and their leg became dislocated, OK? So the hip became dislocated from the pelvis, right? So they're in a lot of pain, OK? But a doctor says, don't worry, I'm a doctor, I can fix this. So he gets the leg and he shifts it around and he pops it back in, right? And the fella starts screaming. It turns out he's caught one of his plums in between the... yeah, I know. I think we mentioned that here, didn't we? 03453 009956. Jason says, does the goose poo man only cling goose or does he do dog? Is that a different department? Oh, here we go. Now, listen, Martin in Solihull has got totally the tone of this show. OK, and if anyone can answer this, we need a vet or someone. Ian, here's a question for you. On the subject of birds, can a bird ever die mid-flight? Boom. That's the rest of the show. We'll ask the crankies that. Can a bird ever die mid-flight? I would assume that it could by a heart attack or something similar. How come we never see a bird dropping out of the sky? That is brilliant. Can we get a bird man on? Can a bird ever die mid-flight? They must die mid-flight. People die... Well, hang on, has anyone ever died when they're walking? I was about to say they have, but I can't think of anybody who's died when they're walking. But not when they're walking. People die when they're asleep, people die when they're sat down, people die in cars. I can't think of anybody that's ever died walking. 03453 009956. I have no... Oh, here we go. The worst ever job. I wonder what this meant. This was just a random sentence, but then my brain reconnected. Jason in Yardley says, worst ever job. I stood there photocopying hundreds of letters daily, one at a time. I had to do another job once where I was... I had to shred documents in an office. It was so tedious. And they kept saying, only put one sheet of paper in at a time. Well, of course, I was 16. I was tempestuous. I was crazy. There was no holding me back. So I was putting like 10 at a time. I keep knackering the machine.
Friend or foe will share this dream.
And it is that man, Agbonlahor, who gives Aston Villa the lead.
Let rivalries return. Get behind your team.
And Paul Downing puts Walsall.
You always need someone to share every moment. We'll be there till the season's end.
Great ball, Thomas, roof of the net, and Blues are in front.
Your club is our club. The goal horn awaits, my football friend.
The station for commentary this season.
BBC WM 95.6.
This is the show that likes to ask the big questions. Worst job you've ever had? Have you ever self-treated yourself? And can a bird die mid-flight? 03453 009956.
Father wears his Sunday best. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a date to keep, he can't hang around.
Our house, in the middle of our street. Our
always something happening, and it's usually quite loud. Our mum, she's so house proud, nothing ever slows her down, and a mess is not allowed. Small kiss, she's the one they're going to miss in lots of ways.
BBC WM 95.6 03453 009956. That's the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Now, we had Martin from Solihull, 10 out of 10. You get it totally. Pretty much anything goes here. Pretty much anything goes. Martin texted him with a question. On the subject of birds, can a bird ever die mid-flight? I would assume it could by a heart attack or something similar, but how come we never see a bird dropping out of the sky? That's a brilliant question. Well, I also have a brilliant producer, Producer Joe, who was managed to snaffle a guest at short notice. It's Dr. Mark Easton from the RSPB. Good afternoon, Dr. Mark.
Good afternoon.
Can a bird ever die mid-flight?
I'm sure they can. I've never seen it myself either, but I think it will happen occasionally, but probably, if a bird's feeling poorly, if it's ill, if it thinks something's going wrong, it will stop flying. It will land first. So I think that's why we don't see it happening more often than we do, because if you're feeling poorly, it's like you're going for a jog.
Yeah.
And your heart's feeling a bit ticky or a bit poorly and so forth, you'll stop. You'll sit down and then maybe you'll keel over. Hopefully not. But I think birds are doing the same thing.
But if you're flying and there isn't anywhere for you to land, and because sometimes heart attacks, they just come on, don't they? There can be no warning sometimes.
Indeed. So, yes, possibly it might happen. There might be occasions. But I reckon in most cases, a bird that's feeling poorly possibly won't be flying in the first place. Yeah. Or it is, will find somewhere to land. I mean, that's why we generally don't see that many dead birds around anyway, because most birds, if they're feeling poorly, will look for shelter, for somewhere to hide first.
I was going to ask, where do they go? I said a few weeks ago on the Thames, I was so surprised because I saw a dead duck just floating sideways on the Thames. I got so excited I called my young boys over, who are 4 and 2. I wish they hadn't. It upset them quite traumatically. But where do birds go to die?
I'm just thinking about the exciting days out you must have with your family watching the birds. They look for shelter. If something's feeling poorly, I mean, it hopes it's not going to die, it hopes it's going to survive through it, so it'll look for a bush, a tree, into some vegetation, somewhere where it can shelter and hopefully survive. If it doesn't make it, there are, I mean, I don't know whether these stats about how far you ever are from a rat
are
really true, but we know there are plenty of things out there which, you know, need dead things to survive. They're hopefully, yeah, they're quite happy to scavenge on things that have died. So if a bird dies, it's not going to be long before something comes along and makes good use of that corpse.
Because quite often in rivers and in parks and ponds and things like that, in the middle of the river or the pond, there's that kind of mysterious bird island, isn't it? Which is covered
right.
with feathers and poop, and no human ever seems to go there. And that's kind of, who knows what those birds are plotting on that island? Is that where they go?
It may well be. I mean, as a member of the RSPB, I should point out that birds don't plot. I don't want people to get too worried about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you would say that, though, Mark. You're on their side.
Indeed. That is true. You got me there. But, yes, places like that, safe places, islands for water birds, they'll head for islands, places where they're a bit more secure from predators if they need to sit around and feel ill for a while and hopefully recover. And of course, yeah. some do, but If they don't, that's where they finish up, and you know, something will come along and make best use of what they leave behind.
Where are we these days on feeding bread to ducks and swans? Because it was definitely big in the 70s and 80s, and then it was a no-no, and then someone said to me recently, oh, no, it's all right as long as it's not stale.
I think in moderation. We all know that ducks, geese do like a bit of bread, and I think it's a great thing for people to get contact with wildlife and bring it close and experience that. So in moderation, I think a little bit of bread is no problem. Obviously, you know, things like grain, seed are probably better for them, but we don't necessarily all have a bag of grain with us when we're out and about. So I think bread to ducks is no bad thing.
Mark, if you had to get rid of one bird in the world to save all of the other birds, what's your least favourite bird?
Oh, I don't know. You've really put me on the spot.
There must be one where you kind of... You kind of think, oh, I'm not that bothered about you. You don't really do anything. You don't look very nice. You don't do a lot.
Oh, dear. Dear.
Because obviously you'd want to save...
I love them all. I really, really do. I mean, people love swans, and I often look at swans and think, well, yeah, they're big and white, and they don't seem to do much, but I wouldn't want to get rid of them. They're lovely things, but they don't excite me, isn't it? So they do some people. But.
Mark, thank you. That's a very honest answer. Mark Easton there from the RSPB saying, let's get rid of swans. I'm joking. He didn't say that in the slightest. He was a very good sport and played along with the game. Because obviously you'd want to save puffins. Puffins are brilliant, aren't they? You'd save puffins. Puffins are great. I'd save sparrows. I've got a soft spot for sparrow. What a nice chap Mark Easton was there from the RSPB. RPSB, RSPB, that's it. What a lovely fellow. You'd save puffins. I'd save sparrows. Save parrots. Of course you're going to save parrots. Parrots are brilliant. Pigeons, yeah, pretty low down on the old chain of things that you'd want to keep, I suppose. Yeah. I quite like crows, big crows. If you ever get a crow come up to you, they are huge things. 03453 009956. You've kind of worked out how this show works. We talk about stuff, you call in, and we go off on tangents every Friday, 2 till 4. Now, Harby has sent me in an email. I think this email is a joke. This cannot be a genuine email. On the subject of worst jobs, speaking properly. On the subject of jobs, as an apprentice back in the 80s, I worked in the quality control department at Dulux and literally had to watch paint dry to verify what it said on the tin. A tin of gloss usually took 8 hours to dry. Now, that can't be real. That cannot be a genuine job. You sit there. I'm not going American. I'm just saying genuine properly. That's how you say it. And, yes, 03453 009956 is the telephone number, should you wish to give us a call about your worst ever job. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to speak to the Crankies, their views on the Scottish independence vote. If you've got any questions for the Crankies, keep them clean! Then you can give us a call, 03453 009956. You could be speaking to them. On last Saturday's show, 9 till 12... We were taking a little vote as to whether we should keep Scotland or let it go. And we were doing the what's good about Scotland and what's bad about Scotland. The good things won, I think, 8-7. And one of the good things about Scotland was, in fact, the Crankies. That's why we've got them. You want them? You got them. They're coming on later. And also, I want to talk about this after 3 o'clock, please, if you don't mind. St Andrew's Golf Club in Scotland... Scotland's never had it so good. After 260 years, they finally had a vote saying, yeah, we're going to let girls in. We're going to let ladies in, which is kind of quite noble of them. Now, I don't want to... No, I don't want this to sound sexist. This isn't sexist at all. okay? But some of you might hear it as being sexist, right? But it isn't, so just listen properly. Isn't it nice that there are places where men go and places where women go and they can be separate from each other? That they can be completely separate. Now, I'm trying to think of some examples. There aren't that many clubs where it's men only anymore. And, okay, here we go. On the other side, the Women's Institute. That's a women's only organisation, right? So when they meet every other Thursday at the church hall at 7:30 in the evening, there won't be any blokes there. And that's fantastic for it. You're not going to get the WI having a vote to see whether men should be allowed. Is the WI still going, by the way? I'm putting it out there. I've got actually no idea what the Women's Institute is. All I know is they make jam and do Beetle drives. That's all I know about them. 03453 009956. You see, we're going off on a tangent. But the Women's Institute for Women, and actually, I can't think of any places that are exclusively for men anymore. Are there any? Now that St Andrews has deigned to let women go in there, and God knows why any women want to go to a golf club. It's the most tedious thing in the world. But I can't think of any places that are exclusively for men anymore. So hang on, sisters. You're winning if the WI is indeed still going. We'll talk about that and more in the next hour. If you want to give us a call, you're more than welcome to. 03453 009956. A couple of texts. Matt in the jewellery quarter, I've seen a grouse die mid-flight. Yes, a bird can die mid-flight if it's been shot, says Stu. Tricky from Mosley says, men die walking on golf courses all the time. All the time? Let's get the travel news now. Here's Adam.
The M5 northbound looking really busy from junction 6 at Worcester to 4A for the M42 through the roadworks. Also, there's still that lane closure to watch out for on the northbound M40 between junction 15 at the Warwick Turn up to 16 at Henley and Arden. Lane 1 of the 3 closed off there, and it's causing queues back to junction 13 at Bishop's Tatchbrook. The best part of an hour to get through all those queues. The Aston Bridge still closed from Dartmouth Circus, causing delays along Thomas Street, which is part of the diversion. And in Wensfield, Kitchen Lane report of an accident near to Clare Avenue. To update me, 08453 002 88.
Waking up the West Midlands with the latest news, sport, weather and travel updates. Pete Morgan at breakfast is back Monday morning from 6.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
BBC WM 95.6.
It's 3 o'clock, more of your calls and indeed the crankies after the latest news with Charlotte Harriman.
The promise of more powers for Scotland in the wake of the referendum is triggering renewed demands for extra devolution in English regions, including the Midlands. David Cameron says he will honour a promise to hand more responsibility to Holyrood, but he'll match it with more devolution for England. John Swinney is the finance minister in the Scottish National Party government in Edinburgh and says the UK parties mustn't go back on the pledge they made.
I hope we're not hearing the sound of the goalposts being shifted. A timetable was set out to people in Scotland. In good faith, people made a judgment that they preferred that timetable to voting for independence and securing all of the powers. So, in good faith, the United Kingdom government and the UK political parties have got to stick to that.
55% of voters in Scotland said no to independence. Leaders of the No campaign said needless separation had been averted and unity had been chosen over division. The turnout was very high at 85%. The historian and vowed unionist Simon Sharma said he's jubilant.
This is an astonishing triumph for popular democracy. And because my base is New York, in the remains of a democracy, eaten to a degree of kind of wormy hopelessness by money and very, very low turnouts. It was, has been constantly said, enthralling to see the spectacle of 80 and 90% of people voting.
A meeting's being held tonight to discuss people's concerns over the potential closure of 9 police stations in Walsall. West Midlands Police say they need to close underused buildings like those on Green Lane, Brown Hills and Willenhall to save millions of pounds. Ian Edwards is the chair of the Police Federation for our region.
They're legitimate concerns. The public wants the best service that they can have from their police force in the region. And I'm not surprised that they're raising concerns over response times. everyone that works in West Midlands Police goes to work to do their best. Officers that I work with want to get there as fast as they can. They want to catch the criminals and they want to look after the good people in West Midlands.
Birmingham City Council says it's looking at complaints children were served just one chicken nugget for their dinner during their free school meal. It's claimed that reception-aged children at one school in the city were served the dish. More than 160,000 extra children in the West Midlands have been getting free meals after changes were brought in by the government at the start of this term. Councillor Barry Bowers was in the meeting about the issue.
What I said was that, to me, the whilst that needed to be looked at, the important thing was the sort of food that we were providing, and the fact that it was chicken nuggets that were quoted, I said that that's not the sort of food that we should be looking with the obesity rates we got in year six in the city and nationally.
In cricket, the Warwickshire and England batsman Ian Bell will miss the Royal London Cup final against Durham at Lord's tomorrow. Bell has been struggling to recover from a broken toe, but has now gone down with tonsillitis. Finally, the weather, mainly cloudy with the risk of some heavy thundery showers, although most places will stay dry, up at 21 degrees Celsius, 70 degrees Fahrenheit. Dry tonight, dipping to 14 degrees Celsius, 57 degrees Fahrenheit. And the weekend, the odd shower possible on Saturday, but dry on Sunday. BBC WM 95.6 News. There's more online at bbc.co.uk/WM.
Thank you very much.
Ian Lee.
On BBC WM
95.6.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
Afternoon, Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6. Want to call? You can. What about? Well, pretty much anything, really. Well, let's have a little recap of where we've been and a glance forward. So far, worst jobs. Can birds die in mid-flight? Ever seen a dead bird? Ever treated yourself medically? And does the Women's Institute still go? That's what we've had. Coming up, we're going to talk to the Crankies. Oh, man alive. 03453 009956. It's all very, very random on there. You can call in about pretty much anything that you want. Keith's in Northfield. Afternoon, Keith.
Good afternoon.
Keith, what you got for us?
All male.
Ah, yes. Now, the St Andrews Golf Course has finally, after 260 years, allowed women in. And I kind of think it's a shame, because I think it's nice that there are places that women can go to that men can't, the Women's Institute. And there should be places that blokes can go to that women can't. But I can't think of any now.
Well, I've got two for you.
Go on.
You've got the Royal Antediluvian Order of Buffaloes.
What the hell is that?
It's like... Plus, my second one is the Masons, but it's like the Masons, the other one is, but for the working class.
The Royal Antediluvian of Buffaloes?
Order of Buffaloes.
Is that the thing where they wear, like, furry helmets with horns on?
No.
Oh. What happens there, then?
Well, we do... Well, it's secret.
Go on, tell us.
A lot of work for charities all that lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and...
But what happens there that's... Why is it so secret?
It just is. It's just, you know...
Kinky?
No.
No? Not kinky?
Nah.
Well, what goes... What? But why is it... Why is it secret? I want to be part of this.
Well, if you want to be part of it, I'll put you forward.
Oh, yeah, go on. And what do I have to do?
Well, all you do, we initiate you into the order.
Yeah.
You go in blindfold.
Oh, hello, here we go. You said it wasn't kinky.
Yeah, you go in blindfolded, and then they ask you what you want to see, and you say the light, and then things happen from there. When we do things for charities and things like that.
Yeah, the charity stuff I'm not so interested in. I'm interested in the bit where I'm blindfolded, and then things happen from there.
Oh, we got some... it's hard to explain. We've got...
You're doing a good job, Keith. Kind of.
Hey?
You're doing a good job.
We've got, like, different jobs in the lodge.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you've got to use... If you break the laws of the lodge...
Oh, blimey.
Right?
Yeah,
you have to put money into the box.
Be honest, Keith.
Yeah.
Is it just a load of old men sitting around drinking light ales?
Excuse me, I'm not an old man.
Sorry?
I'm not an old man.
No, you excluded, of course. Obviously, well, hang on a minute.
No, there's quite a few youngsters in it as well.
How young would you say the youngsters are? 50?
Younger than that.
49?
Yes. I'll tell you something. There's two lads that are in their 20s.
Hey, blimey. Keith, can I have a guess at your age?
Go on.
62.
What? I'm 58.
I'm not that far out.
Yeah, but you're still making me older than what I am.
Only by 4 years. And let's be honest, Keith, with the greatest of respect, 58's quite
yeah,
old.
Yeah, but I'm younger to heart.
Yeah, then that's what counts. Keith, yeah. Thank you very much.
All right.
Cheers, my dears. 03453-00956. He mentioned the Masons there, right? The Masons, they're kind of a myth, aren't they? I know they exist, but it's just a drinking club, isn't it? All this talk of aprons, the rubber gloves, the secret handshakes, and, you know, like kind of high court judges and politicians and police officers, supposedly, in the Masons. So if you get caught speeding or something, you can just do the secret wink and the secret handshake and you get let off. Is that real? That can't be real. Not in 2014. 03453-00956. I need a Mason. And I need a women's institution. 03453-00956. Or you can text 81333. Start your text WM. Hello, this is Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6. 03 453 00956 is the phone number if you want to give us a call. We're trying to find a Mason and someone who goes to the Women's Institute. Why? Well, because St Andrews in Scotland has decided to admit women as members for the first time in its 260-year history. But part of me kind of thinks, and I don't want to sound like some horrible old-fashioned pig, But part of me kind of thinks, it's a little bit sad, isn't it? Don't men need places for just men to go? And conversely, don't women need places for just women to go? Well, we can speak to the author of Courting Trouble, a new book that's out now. And, well, Kathy Lett, would I describe you as a feminist?
Did you?
Hello?
Excellent. Can I call you straight back?
Oh, hang on a bit. That's the wrong fader. Sorry, Kathy, you're there.
I'm here. I'm right here.
I'm not in my usual studio. I'm using the wrong fader. I am indeed what can be described as an idiot. Would I describe you as a feminist, Kathy?
Oh, yes, of course. With a capital S.
A big...
like to fun and flirt. And, you know, it's not that we're hard-lined, hairy-legged harridans. That's the kind of myth in the media. We love men and we want to be everywhere that the men are.
But isn't it, don't kind of men need places to go sometimes where there's no women? And vice versa. Women go and hang out where there's no blokes.
Well, can I say, I think men have got enough places to go. You've got the football, you've got your garage,
Yeah. You've
got the pub. And what women want to know is what you do in these golf clubs. Because so many men say, oh, darling, I've got to go to golf today. It's for business. It's work. It's purely work. It's not pleasure. And imagine if women said, oh, darling, I've got to go shopping today. It's work. It's not pleasure. It's shopping with my boss, you know. So we don't think it's very fair that... I think it's housework avoidance, mostly, the golf club.
I am very suspicious of anybody that would want to go to a golf club. I can't think of a more tedious way to spend a day.
To your degree, I think when golfers talk about their golfers' handicap, I think that's their personality. it's not that we women want to belong to the boring old golf club, but we just want to know that we could if we wanted to. Because if they banned blacks, Jews, Muslim men, it would be such an outrage. But the fact that they're just allowed to ban women and nobody kicks up a stink about it is wrong. And, you know, we still don't have equal pay in Britain. We're getting 75 pence in the pound.
You've got the vote, Kathy.
Head on the glass ceiling. And we're supposed to clean it while we're up there. So, yes, I'm all for women's rights.
You've got the vote, Kathy. What more do you want, for goodness sakes?
Well, you know, we no longer want men to give us their seats on the bus. We want you to give us your seats on the board. Hey, that's what we want, Ian.
Now, listen, you mentioned the seat on the bus thing, because I've I've sort of stopped doing it. If I see a pregnant lady, and she's really obviously pregnant, because, boy, oh, boy, we've all made that mistake, I will offer it.
Haven't we yet?
Oh, man alive.
I'm
not pregnant. I'm so sorry, but I've offered an old lady on the train a seat once, and she had a go at me for daring to stand up and offer her a seat. So I don't know what I'm supposed to do these days.
No, that's very rare. I mean, listen, feminists still appreciate good manners, and men are, of course, physically stronger, and you are more at ease and more equipped to stand for longer and to carry heavy things, etc. Women have one strength ahead of you in that we're more verbally dexterous. We use about 400 more words in our daily vocabulary than men. We can shoot from the lip and we can give a man a good tongue lashing, but that's probably our only weapon.
Yes, boy, oh boy, what a weapon it is too, Kathy. I mean, women have got the Women's Institute, which I don't think men can go to. That's kind of it, isn't it? Is there anywhere else that's exclusively for women?
Not that I can think of.
No.
And the Women's Institute is just, it's, you wouldn't say it was accessible to all people. I think you have pretty much have pinstriped underpants to belong to the Women's Institute and probably sit at home crocheting your own orgasms. So if most women don't find the Women's Institute, you know, particularly attractive place to go. So, yeah, I think it's only fair they let the women into the golf and clubs. And also we will raise the tone. When the women are there, the men will be less Neanderthal and, you know, might use more than a three-grunt vocabulary of nut, don't, ugh.
Yeah, but some of you women really do let the side down a little bit, don't you?
In what way?
Well, I don't know if you've ever seen White D or any of some of the characters that are on Big Brother this series.
Well, dang, Big Brother. I mean, if anyone who's on Big Brother, if there were any more moronic, you'd have to water them once a week. So I don't think we can count them as particularly average citizens.
Kathy, the new book's out now, Courting Trouble. What's it about?
It's set in the world's first mother-daughter, barrister-solicitor, two-person boutique feminist law firm where we only take on women's cases and women's causes. So a lot of girl talk. Men, do not slip between my covers. You'll be shocked.
Oh, blimey. Kathy, nice to talk to you. Thank you very much for your time.
You're lovely. And I'm glad we both detest golf. I know we're going to get on very well.
Definitely.
And flirt a lot when we meet.
Thank you, Kathy. Speak to you again soon. That's Kathy Lett, author of Courting Trouble. 03453 009956 is the phone number. Well, she's glad that women can go into the golf club, but she can't understand why they'd want to. It's good they've got the opportunity, but who's going to take them up on it? 03453 009956.
Hunted.
Okay, do you know where I'm going to find the queen bee this morning?
I do.
Oh wow, there's a beehive.
Oh, beehive.
And what's this?
Phantom raspberry blows. The two Ronnies.
It was the two Ronnies.
Yes. I was thinking of the Phantom Flan Flicker.
Are you Bob?
I am your hunted.
Yeah.
Oh, that's almost taunting him on his defeat.
Oh, stop it.
Hunted.
3 hours, 5 clues to find one person in the West Midlands.
This Sunday morning from 9. BBC WM.
95.6.
Yeah, we got the Crankies coming on soon. Beat that, the rest of the station. Huh? I know Paul Franks has got a cracking show coming on at 4 o'clock. Has he got the Crankies on? I don't think so. Is it Helena or Helena? How are you pronouncing that? Helena.
Helena.
Yes. Sorry, Helena. Well, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. What's that squeaking in the background?
My floor.
Oh, OK, you've got a squeaky floor. That's fine.
I'll stop moving.
No, please. If you want to move around, please do. It's fine, as long as we know what it is. What would you like to say, Helena?
Well, I was in the car and I caught your bit about the Freemasons.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to work for a catering company who worked for them for their meetings.
Oh.
Yeah, they're a pretty weird bunch. And they drink drive. Yeah, sorry, to make a bold statement.
Well, no, it's a bold. I don't know if they're an organisation that can be that litigious. We'll find out in the courts, no doubt. I'm sure there may be one or two members that do. I'm sure they don't condone it. But why is it so weird there?
Okay, well, I worked for the Southern Goldfield Chapter.
Yeah.
Basically, we weren't allowed in the actual meetings. They would like lock the doors, have people standing outside the doors, like you can't come in here. Sort of. Freaky. We went in the room. They've got like pointy chairs and like red drapes all over the walls.
Beautiful.
And weird floors. I don't know. They've got what's
considering you've got a squeaky one, what would you class as a weird floor?
Like a zigzag pattern, a bit like Twin Peaks.
Oh, okay. Wow.
It's a bit weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, they had like personalized goblets for the leader guys.
Wow.
And they were. I mean, they're like ex-judges, ex-policemen, they're just rich people, basically. But
yeah.
The amount of alcohol they would go through.
They love a good boozer. So is it just a posh, slightly weird, boozy club, then?
I think it's like a posh, boozy charity club. They did have a separate charity that they were... It was like, that was their charity for the evening, and they'd all be donating to that. In the actual meetings, I don't know, plotting downfalls, God knows.
Did you see any of the aprons or rubber gloves?
They have tabards. Rubber gloves, though.
They wear tabards.
That sounds like Dexter.
It does.
Aprons and rubber gloves.
Yeah, well, I'm not implying that the Freemasons are either alcoholics or murderers. I'm sure they don't condone either of those activities.
No, me neither.
I don't condone them either. They're both very, very naughty. But you thought it was all a little bit weird and mysterious. Did you get to talk to any of them, or did they kind of keep themselves separate?
Some of them were a little bit grumpy, like, you know, you are my waiting staff, don't be talking to me.
Yeah.
But some of them very friendly. They got kind of, you know, bum slappy when they were a bit drunk. Didn't appreciate that.
No, you don't sound like a bum slappy kind of girl.
Oh, no, not really.
No. And were they all old men?
Yes. I'd say the youngest one I saw there looked about, mid-30s.
Well, hang on.
But he looked really...
Hang on, mid-30s is quite young, isn't it?
Yeah, but there was only one. The rest of them, I mean, some of them pretty old, maybe 90. Oh. I'd say the average age was about 60. Probably.
Helena, thank you for your insight into the weird world of Freemasons.
No problem.
Thank you very much. Now go and get your floor sorted out. Just to reiterate, I don't think the Freemasons condone drink driving. I mean, you know. But thank you very much. 03453 009956. We need a Freemason. We need someone a woman from the Women's Institute. Someone has texted in. Who is this? Cheryl. Our WI group let men in. Well, then that's not a Women's Institute. That's just an institute. That doesn't work, does it?
Jimmy quit, Jody got married, should've known we never
Afternoon. Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6. Here every Friday between 2 and 4 and every Saturday between 9 and 12, me and producer Joe. Paul Franks will be on at 4 o'clock. If you want to give us a call, though, between now and then, 03 453 00956. Worst job you've ever had. Treating yourself medically. And we need someone from the Women's Institute. Meanwhile, Dale's in Harbourne. Afternoon, Dale.
Good afternoon, Ian.
What have you got for us, sir?
Yeah, I'm a member of a club called Probus, P-R-O-B-U-S. It stands for Professional Business, and we're exclusively male.
And what do you do? Because a club called Probus sounds, it sounds quite unpleasant, but this is a business kind of thing. What do you do?
Yeah,
what's the point?
For professional business. What we do, it's basically a fellowship. We meet once a month up in Sutton Park, in Sutton Coalfield, and we have two walks a month, short and long walks.
Oh.
We do theatre visits, we do dining out, we have foreign holidays together. We have game evenings, bowls and stuff like that.
What's the pleasure in meeting without women? It's exclusively men. Why does that work?
Well, you probably know that introducing women into any organisation, and I used to be a member of Rotary Club, it completely changes the dynamics. You can say things in a men-only club and have speakers in a men-only club that you would be reluctant to have in a mixed club. Plus, you know, men have got different entertainment priorities to women.
Oh, hang on, are you saying you have strippers?
Sorry?
Are you saying you have strippers?
Have what?
Strippers.
Strippers? No, we don't go into anything tawdry or unseemly, anything like that.
No.
But male things are varied, and they're different from women's.
Give me an example, Dale, of a male entertainment that a woman wouldn't like. If it's not strippers and it's not Xbox, what is it?
Well, I suppose you could have any meeting that could include women, but we've had a number of speakers. We've had the local vicars. We've had people who've talked about sweet shops. We've had somebody from the National Registry Office. We've had politicians. We've had all sorts of different people.
What did the speaker about sweet shops talk about? Obviously sweets, but what were they what were they saying?
It was brilliant.
I bet it was, actually.
Did you realise that there are amazing regional differences in sweets? And so this woman talked about...
A woman?
A woman,
So you let a woman into talk?
We have women speakers.
They can come and work for you, but they can't be equal with you.
They're equal, but they're not... we do consider that the entertainment we have should include women. We think that men should have
they're
their
great
own,
to look at, aren't they?
Our own meetings, and that's how it works out. But there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
I think that...
Listen, I agree with you. I don't think there's anything wrong. Sometimes men want to be with men, and you're right, they speak differently. They speak... they can be freer, and women want to be with women, and they'll talk about different things.
Yeah.
And it does worry me that a lot of these institutions are being forced to kind of, you know, take on members of the opposite sex.
Well, I feel that the Rotary movement went step backwards when they... I mean, this is initiated by Americans, believe it or not. To insist that women should be allowed to enter Rotary Club.
Crazy.
And I've been a member of two Rotary Clubs, one of which includes women, and I'm afraid that the whole dynamic changed, and it wasn't fun anymore.
What did you leave once women joined?
No, I didn't leave when women joined, but when I joined the Rotary Club, there was a number of women in it, and for whatever reason, and I'm not sure what the reason was, maybe it's because... women's humour and men's humour is completely different.
Yep.
We don't laugh at the same things. And, I mean, it may not be because of women there, but it certainly wasn't... It wasn't the enjoyable Rotary Club that I previously joined up in rugby itself.
Dale, I really appreciate your thoughts on that this morning. this afternoon, 03453 00956. Sometimes... This isn't sexist to say that sometimes if you're a bloke, you want to hang out with just blokes, and if you're a woman, you want to hang out with just women. What's your beef? Right, let's get the travel news now. Here's Adam Crowther.
The M40 northbound has lane 1 of 3 closed due to a broken down vehicle. That's awaiting recovery between junction 15 at the Warwick Turn and 16 at Henley. Now, there was an accident through that stretch on the northbound side earlier on. All lanes had been reopened for a very brief time, around 20 minutes, and then there's been this broken down vehicle that's stuck in the queues there now as well. So lane 1 of 3 has been closed again. It's going to take you the best part of an hour still to get through all that queuing traffic, queues back to junction 13. At Bishop's Tatchbrook. The M5 southbound, junction 5 at Droitwich through the roadworks to junction 6 at Worcester. Lane 1 of the 3 is blocked by a broken down vehicle there as well. The M6 northbound, 11 at Cannock to 12 at Gailey, that's queuing through the roadworks. And also there's problems in Wombourne now. Roadhouse Lane, the A463, that's been closed off due to an accident between the Stourbridge Road and High Street. Looking as though police are on the scene directing traffic through to Sedgley along alternative routes. No problems around Birmingham City Centre, although it's a little busy around the Five Ways Island onto Broad Street. And also onto the Hagley Road on the A456 through towards Edgbaston. And if you see a problem or you can update us, call BBC WM95.6 Travel on 08453 00288.
Thank you, Adam.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country. BBC WM95.6.
It's 3:30. Let's get the news now. Here's Charlotte Harriman.
Political leaders in the four nations of the United Kingdom have promised a new constitutional settlement in response to Scotland's decision to stay in the Union. David Cameron said the Scottish Parliament will be given new powers over tax, spending and welfare. People in England, Northern Ireland and Wales would also be given a greater say over their national affairs. The SNP leader, Alex Salmond, said he accepted the result but insisted that the 1.6 million yes votes were what he called a substantial vote for Scottish independence in the future. Meanwhile, the Queen is expected to make a short written statement on the referendum result later this afternoon. A meeting's being held tonight to discuss people's concerns over the potential closure of 9 police stations in Walsall. West Midlands Police say they need to close underused buildings like those on Green Lane, Brown Hills and Willenhall to save millions of pounds. In cricket, the Warwickshire and England batsman Ian Bell will miss the Royal London Cup final against Durham at Lord's tomorrow. Bell has been struggling to recover from a broken toe but has now gone down with tonsillitis. And the weather, mainly cloudy with the risk of some heavy thunder showers, almost, although most places will stay dry at 21 degrees Celsius, 70 degrees Fahrenheit. Tonight, dipping down to 14 degrees Celsius, 57 degrees Fahrenheit. And over the weekend, the odd shower possible on Saturday, but dry on Sunday.
The Voice. The Voice. The Voice of Birmingham and the Black Country. BBC WM 95.6.
It's 3:32. Paul Franks is on at 4. That's where my weekend starts. Then it breaks again because we do the show tomorrow between 9 and 12. And then it starts again. And that's awesome. What are we talking about? Worst job you've ever had? Women's Institute? Places where men can go and women can't? And vice versa? And we'll be talking to the Crankies very, very soon. I think I'm a little bit too excited. I'm a little bit too excited. 03453 00956 if you want to give us a call. Rick's on the line. Good afternoon, Rick.
Good afternoon.
The worst job you've ever had, please, sir?
Cleaning anti-fouling off the bottom of boats.
What's anti-fouling?
It stops them picking up barnacles and seaweed and stuff to slow them down. But, of course, you also find other substances in rivers and seas and things that will stick to the bottom of boats.
Poo.
One way of putting it.
Yeah, you mean poo. And I'm assuming you have... when you initially said that, I'm such an idiot, I had an image of the water, the boat being lifted out by a crane and you'd stand underneath it, like you were mechanics looking at a car. I'm assuming you get in the water and do it, do you?
No, you normally pull it up to the side of a wall or a hard standing and wait for the tide to go out so it then sits on its keel.
Of course you do.
But of course,
it's so obvious.
But of course you're then underneath it, getting covered in it as you're scraping it.
Oh, man alive.
My best friend at school had the worst job going. His parents owned a turkey farm.
Oh. What did he have to do? He didn't, did he?
Artificial insemination, and he had to excite the turkeys and remove the,
Okay, yep, yes, I can... some form of liquid extraction from the male turkeys. That's what we're talking about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but unfortunately, you have to use a tube and a bottle and suck it in.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much indeed. 03453 00956. I think what Rick was trying to say there is it's like siphoning petrol out of a car. I think that's the delicate way of putting it. I think we're... I think... Hang on. Yep, we're still on the air. We're still on the air, just, although Paul Franks is poised, ready to jump in at any moment. Thank you, Rick. Thanks very much. Mike's in Harborne. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon, Ian.
I hope you can follow that one.
Yeah.
What have you got for us, boss?
Well, I am a Freemason for the last 18 years.
Oh.
I've been joining this society, this wonderful society, for the last 18 years. We are not a secret society. We are a society with a secret.
Oh, and what are the secrets?
Well, they are secrets. That's what they call them.
Ah.
We are known. We are not unknown people. But we are a society with a secret.
And what are those secrets?
Well, if you want to join us and find out, why not?
I'd love to. What do I have to do to join? I'm in.
Well, you could talk to me and I'll make you join.
Okay.
Why not?
I'm talking...
As long as you don't have a criminal record, that's one of the... That's the first thing we need to ask.
Well, yeah, if I did have a criminal record, couldn't some of you guys sort that out for me?
No way.
Oh.
You have to be uprise man.
Yes.
And you have to be a free man.
Well.
You have to believe in a God.
Ah, okay. Gosh, it's
so good. You can't be somebody you don't believe in anything, in any kind of moral.
So I have to be an uprising man, I have to be a free man, and I have to believe in a God. This is not looking great for me at the moment, Mike.
Well,
What do you get out of it?
You don't have a criminal record.
Well, I mean, it's you know, that'll be decided in a few weeks. What do you get out of it, Mike?
Well, there is a lot of to get out of it. First of all, we are a charity society.
Yeah.
The charity is a very important. So to learn about charity and to be a part of a charity and to help, that's a very good. You know, that's the main reason the Freemason it's established. It's a charity society to help from the unknown.
Mike.
So we are the unknown people to help a lot of people.
That's not the reason it was established. It was established so you can go and have a booze up in your tabards without any women there, and you could get let off speeding fines. That's what it's for.
We have a lot of things that people, they talk about it.
Yeah.
About Freemasons. Because it's a closed society, they told us we are secret. Some people accuse us we are the devil worshipper, or some people they accuse us about a lot of things. But the reality, we are a charity society. We don't have a religion, particularly religion. We accept all sorts of religions. We have our members are Christian, Jews and Muslims.
Is it nice not having women there?
There is a Freemasons woman, by the way. They are very little.
Yeah.
But
they're not as good,
are they? As a men meeting.
Yes.
It is nice, yes.
Mike,
why not?
Mike, you mentioned secrets, the secrets of Freemasons. What are those secrets?
Well, it's something to do with the rituals itself.
Oh.
It's a secret, and we have to swear on the Bible to don't talk about it.
And so what are those secrets?
Well, you are trying to slip my...
trying to slip something, yes. Are you going to slip one out?
You need to join in and to know these secrets.
Mike, thank you very much indeed. Oh, he's teased me! Mike has teased me! I would tell everyone. Producer Joe's just laughing. So you'd be useless in there. You'd tell everyone. I probably would. Oh, I just did my first Freemasons. You'll never believe what the secrets are. Well, we're talking about the places for men to go and places for women to go. And I don't see any problem with kind of segregation in that way. We've been talking about the Women's Institute. We can now speak to Charlotte Fiander, who works for the WI. Good afternoon, Charlotte.
Hello.
Is the WI still exclusively women?
It is, yeah.
Because I'm glad you've said that, because we had a text from Cheryl who says, our WI group let men in, they're very good knitters. And that's just an institute then, isn't it, if men are going?
I mean, they can go along to, if they have a separate craft club, or if they might have visitors, men are allowed to, you know, come along as visitors or as speakers, or if they have, as I say, sort of separate clubs with members taking part in different activities or events, then they're very welcome, but it's the membership that's only open to women.
Do you have... You may have just heard our last caller there, who is a Freemason, and very, very secret. They've got secrets, and he will not... Are there secrets about the WI?
I don't think to the same extent, no. No, I think we're fairly open to...
What happens there? All I know, and this, honestly, I don't mean to sound derogatory, all I know is knitting and beetle drives.
OK.
But I'm sure you're going to tell me off and correct me. So what does happen there?
Well, essentially, the meetings are up to the members themselves. So each WI is a separate charity. So they set their own programme. So they can do exactly what they'd like to do. It's an educational charity. So as long as it's sort of within the realms of somebody learning something new, so they could have different speakers, or they can learn how to do a whole range of different activities, or go and visit somewhere. You know, it's honestly up to whatever the members want to do. They all set their own programs each year, so you know that we are literally as diverse as our membership.
And are there any? I'm going to ask a question. It's going to sound silly because I know that women are so much more sensible than blokes. Okay, are there any rituals or anything? Any tests you have to pass to get in, or do you just turn up?
No, just be a woman and turn up.
Okay.
You don't even need to sing Jerusalem if you don't want to. Some WIs do, some WIs don't. It's entirely up to the members. So.
And we have this image of it being rather stuffy and full of old women. Charlotte, you sound quite young. I've not quite got the age in my head now. But Charlotte, you sound ridiculously young.
Excellent.
What are you doing with the WI?
Well, obviously, as sort of mentioned, I work for the WI, but I was actually a member of the WI before I started working here. I helped set up Wandsworth WI in London. There's just over 50 WIs within the M25, sort of opening new WIs all over the country in sort of city centres where there haven't traditionally been WIs. So there's still our numbers sort of growing. It's a good.
Oh, because I kind of naturally assumed that with lots of these the groups that they would, it would be the opposite, that people would be leaving. But you're saying they're actually thriving.
We're 100 years old next year, and we seem to be still going strong, which is great. New groups sort of opening every week. We've had there was nearly 130 WIs, new WIs opened last year.
And what do you, and what do the other women get? Because I think that segregated groups, I genuinely think that they are a great idea and that there is a need for them.
Uh-huh.
What do you and the other women get out of it just being women? Why is that so important?
I think I'm sure every different member gets something different out of it, but it's sort of having the space to be able to learn something new, to meet people in your local area. You know, we've heard quite often of people who've lived within a certain area for maybe 20 years and they didn't know their neighbours. They sort of met somebody who lived two roads down from them through the WI who they wouldn't have otherwise met. Just sort of building communities, I think, especially with a lot of contact going online now, the WI still provides a space for people to actually meet each other and sort of have that social contact with each other, as well as sort of learning something new or finding something new, you know, just sort of learning together.
Charlotte, it sounds like an excellent organisation. I'm really glad it's thriving, I'm glad it's doing well, and I'm glad they don't let blokes in. Charlotte Fiander from the WI. The Crankies are coming up very, very soon. There's a sentence I didn't think I'd find myself saying.
Don't want to stay alive when you're 25. And when the ceiling glows with marks and sparks, and Freddy's got spots from ripping up the sod from his face, funky little boat race. The television man is crazy, Sam with juvenile delinquent rats.
I want to hear.
come on. This is a, this, we missed the bit where he's talking to the guy in the glasses. Yes, we have. Afternoon, this is Ian Lee, BBC WM 95.6, 03453-00956. Many, many years ago, I was in the audience of Crackerjack. I got to sit one seat away from Keith Harris and Orville. It was not the pleasurable experience I was hoping it would be, as the older boy behind me kept punching me in the ear. I know, it was upsetting. But one of the great things about sitting in the audience of that show at the age of 7 years old was I got to see the flipping Crankies. I got to see the Crankies. Now, what, 34 years later, I get to say, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Crankies. Good afternoon.
Hello, Ian.
Yeah, fan-dabby-dozy. It's so cool to... Now, listen, I'm speaking to Ian. Have I got Jimmy Cranky there as well, or Jeanette Cranky?
Yes, you have. You've got Jeanette at the moment. Jimmy's in the boot getting ready for a show tonight.
I don't think you're supposed to. I don't think you're supposed to keep kids in the boot of the car.
Well,
no, his clothes are in the boot.
Now listen, it's so nice to have you on. We did a little survey last week in the run-up to the Scottish referendum. The good things about Scotland, the bad things about Scotland. You were named as one of the excellent things about Scotland.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
That's very nice. We're very pleased about that.
Good, as you should be. And we thought we'd get your opinion on the Scottish referendum. 55% of the people said no, 45% said yes. What is the Crankies' take on that?
Well, we're not allowed to vote because we live in Devon, so we didn't vote at all.
How has it gone the way that you wanted it to go?
It has gone the way we wanted it to
most
go.
Most definitely.
Because we're on our way up tonight to work tomorrow in Bradford. And it would have been quite awkward, I think, if Scotland had won the referendum and...
And I walk out the stage in a kilt.
Oh, blimey.
I don't think that would have went well, would it?
Ian, I'm hoping you're wearing the kilt in the traditional fashion.
Yes, but I'm not driving a car in it. It's too drafty.
I've worn a kilt. It's a strange experience for those who aren't used to it. Well, Ian, why is it so important, do you think, that Scotland and England and the whole United Kingdom stays together?
Because it's 300 years we've been together, and look at the successes we've had. Look at the inventions we've come up with together, the wars we've fought. It would have been madness to split.
Hey, listen, when did you two start... I'll put this to you, Jeanette. When did you two start doing the Crankies act?
We started, actually, in the late 60s. And one of our first jobs was we went to Germany to work to the American forces before they went to Vietnam. So
I'm laughing because that must, I mean, the Vietnam War, as we all know, was particularly crazy anyway. That must have blown what was left of their mind, seeing you guys before they get shipped out.
Well, we also entertained them on their way back. That was worse.
And Ian, did you could never have imagined that 45 years later you'd still be able to turn a few quid doing this act, did you?
No. Well, I don't think, you just don't realise that 45 years have passed. Mm. When we're up in Glasgow again with John Barrowman for Pantomime, and that'll be our 34th consecutive year of headlining in Pantomime. Who would have believed that?
It is incredible, and it is what's so beautiful about this act, right? And it's kind of quite old-fashioned, traditional British music hall entertainment. It's a really weird idea, and it's really, really simple, and it's really funny.
Well, it's passed down the generations, you know. We've been an act that the grannies have seen us, the mums have seen us, the children have seen us. So, and it's passed the generations, and that's why we've got the length of time we've been going. Why it's lasted that long, you know.
Listen, we're losing the line ever so slightly. It's so nice to talk to you. Honestly, you were heroes of mine when I was growing up, and as an old man now, it's so lovely to talk to you. Safe travels, and maybe we'll get you into the studio if you're ever in Birmingham.
Yeah. Oh, yes, we probably will be.
If I can ever get off the M5.
Yeah, good luck with that, mate. You're going to be there forever. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the Crankies. Huh? Reg, follow that.
Hello.
Follow that, Reg, the Crankies.
This is Reg Barnes here.
Hello, Reg. Are you a fan of the Crankies, Reg?
About 30 years ago.
Hello.
I was down the... down the sewer.
It sounds like you're in a sewer now, Reg.
Yeah, I'm just eating the chips in Tesco's.
You're getting your chips in Tesco's, are you?
Yeah.
OK.
Well, Tesco's here at Jockey Road, Sutton Coldfield. They're absolutely brilliant.
Are you... Sorry, Reg, are you buying your chips or are you eating your chips?
I'm eating them.
So you've bought a bag of chips...
Yeah.
..from the chippy...
And I'm going to talk to you about the sewer I work down.
And you've gone into Tesco's to eat them?
Yeah. Great.
Are you allowed to do that?
Yeah.
All right, fair play.
I bought them from here.
Yeah.
Tesco's a great place here.
It really is, isn't it wonderful? It's a shame they're falling on such hard times. Your worst job ever was you worked down a sewer, did you?
Yeah, and it was about 12 foot down underground, and it was a pumping station.
Oh, hello.
And it was pumping it along, you know, while I was working. Oh. I was plastering the walls down there. I was down there for 10 days, and I stunk to high heaven.
I bet you did. And did you... I'm assuming... Gosh, how can I put this? I can't. I'm assuming you saw, things everything. Floating past.
Yes, everything.
Reg. Yeah. Well, I bet it was... Yeah. Listen, Reg, it's not the greatest line. Enjoy your chips.
Yes, do all get it.
Ta-ta. You can't take chips into Tesco's and just eat them, can you?
You can do magic. You took the raindrops that filled my eyes and put them back up in the sky. Then made the gray skies turn blue. You can do magic. You took a heart that was broken in two and you put it back together. Know how to keep it beating. I beg you not to stop and pray. You keep repeating.
BBC WM 95.6 here Fridays. Look at him dashing in. Come and sit down. Join us on the green microphone. I think I know how that one works. You're right, Paul.
Ian, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Get your breath. I saw you dashing in like a lunatic.
That's all right, just jogging in.
It's not easy for us as we
it's
get...
It's the only exercise I get.
It's dashing from studio to studio. Now, listen, it's an absolute pleasure to be the warm-up act for you, sir. What have you got on your show from 4 o'clock?
We'll round up all the big stories. You might have heard Scotland decided to stay with the UK.
The Crankies are pleased.
You've had them on, I know.
Yes.
That was good fun.
They were pleased.
Were they voting yes or not?
They weren't allowed to vote because they live in Devon. But right, it's gone the way they wanted, so that's a relief.
I don't know who was allowed to vote and who wasn't. Because Apparently, if you're in Scotland, but you're not Scottish,
yeah.
you're allowed to vote.
Yeah, there was a big thing about Polish people voting. It was very confusing.
Crazy. Anyway, so it's a nation divided. 55% said you were going to stay with the UK, and 45% said, no, we want independence. Mm. So how they deal with that, I don't know. Andy Murray getting dogs abuse on Twitter, because right at the last hour, he says, yes, I'd vote yes. Obviously, he lives in Surrey, in a big mansion.
Yeah, so big millionaire who's moved out of Scotland. Yeah, exactly. Well, it's a little bit smaller than mine, but he is a neighbour. But yeah, he got a load of flack on Twitter for that, didn't he?
So was he right to give his opinion, or should he just have kept stum? Because I just wonder how that's going to affect him.
Because
we support him?
Because we didn't. Because he came out a few years ago, didn't he, and slagged off the England football team. He said, I wouldn't watch them.
Yeah.
And people kind of went off him. Then he won Wimbledon.
And then we loved him.
So we loved him. And now he's been silly again.
If he wants to get in our good books, he's going to have to win Wimbledon again. So we've got all that. I'm talking to Ruthie Henschel on the show because Billy Elliot the Musical, which is in London, is coming to movie theatres right around the West Midlands a week on Sunday. So for the price of a cinema ticket, you can see Billy Elliot live on stage.
I like it when they do that, when they beam plays and musicals all around the country. I think that's a cracking idea.
And also, should murderers from foreign countries be allowed into this country? There is a man out there, Arnis Zakis, who's the chief suspect in the disappearance of Alice Gross, and he was jailed in his own country for the murder of his wife for 7 years.
Yep.
Served his time and then moved freely across Europe. Should that be allowed to happen? It's one of the questions we'll be asking tonight. All that, travel every 15 minutes, the 60-minute challenge. We've got the football phone in between 6 and 7, of course. Tickets for the Blues game, which is next week at home to Fulham, and Richard Snakers will be with me.
Excellent stuff, Paul. Nice to finally do a proper like radio handover with you.
I love your work.
God bless you, sir.
Always listen. Saturday mornings, you've got to be there at 9 o'clock.
Thank you very much. You're very kind. Have a nice show. See you later on. Ta-ta. That's Paul. Paul will be on in. Oh, blimey, look at the time. We've only got 2 minutes. Let's squeeze Philip in. Good afternoon, Philip.
Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Philip. What would you like to say?
Well, talking about you mentioning all-male clubs.
Yes.
Where women are excluded from.
Yes, wonderful,
well,
isn't
like
it?
I don't know about that.
Oh.
But I would like to say that there are all-women clubs where men are excluded from, certainly where I live around. I went to the swimming baths the other week ago.
Yes.
And they said to me, no, it's only women this morning.
Great, isn't it? Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, absolutely dreadful.
Oh, why is it dreadful, Philip?
Well, it's dreadful because it's discriminatory.
Yeah, but do you know what? I think sometimes there's nothing wrong with a little bit of discrimination. If it's just a women's only thing...
No, I haven't finished what I was going to say to
you. Oh, Philip, carry on.
I was walking through Aston Park as well a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And there was some... you know, festival going on. That would be nice.
Beautiful.
I thought that.
Yeah, beautiful. Going on a bit of a fest up, yeah.
Yeah, I was walking through and they said, no, it's women only for here, mate.
Oh, no, Philip.
I said,
you seem to be turning up at the wrong places all the time. Maybe if you dragged up a bit, you might get in.
Well, I think that's very flippant of you to say that.
Well, what would you like me to say, Philip, with 30 seconds left of the show?
Well, it is. I mean, I pay my council tax
to
live in Aston.
Does it matter if you couldn't get into a club one morning or you couldn't go to a festival one afternoon? Does it really matter?
I don't go to clubs. I was walking through my local park.
Well, you just mentioned a club that you couldn't get into.
No, I didn't.
Well, what was the first story you told then?
A swimming pool.
So, ladies and gentlemen, Philip was denied access to a swimming pool. It was women only. Great! Sometimes women want to swim on their own. I've not got a problem with that. Let's get the travel news now. Here's Adam.
The M40 northbound still has lane 103 closed, junction 15 at Warwick to 16 at Henley and Arden. That's owing to a broken down vehicle. It's going to take you quite a while to get through all that queuing traffic as well, following an accident earlier on. Still busy on the M5 south from 5 at Droitwich to 6 at Worcester. There's lane blocked there due to a broken down lorry through the roadworks as well, adding to delay. Woodhouse Lane in Wanbourne to Sedgley closed both ways as a result of an accident between the Stourbridge Road and High Street, and Aston Bridge still closed from Dartmouth Circus. To date me, 08453 00288.
waking up the West Midlands with the latest news, sport, weather and travel updates. Pete Morgan at Breakfast is back Monday morning from 6.
The voice of Birmingham and the Black Country.
BBC WM 95.6.
A very good afternoon. Friday afternoon, 4 o'clock. The football phone-in on the way after 6. Richard Snakers will be joining me. Let's get the main news before we do anything else at 4 with Charlotte Harriman.